Hi everyone, this is Ana Luisa of inglesonline.com.br, and this is another episode of English Online podcast. Today we have a special guest, teacher Steve Ford. I interviewed Steve a while ago, and we have lots of videos made by Steve on English Online. So if you have been following our blog, you may know him. But otherwise, he's an English teacher. He has a very popular video page on YouTube, and that's youtube.com/private English portal. Okay, that's youtube.com/private English portal. Right, Steve?
That's right. That's right, Anna. Hello, hello, hello. That's okay, a long name. That's hard. I mean, that's a lot of letters to type in.
I knew that one. I rehearsed that one. All right. So it's great to have you back, Steve.
It's great to be here.
Just so you guys know, Steve made the suggestion that I ask for questions. You know, I posted on the blog asking that readers send in questions, and I received lots of questions both on the comment area of the blog and email. So today we're going to do our best to answer or talk about as many questions as we can.
You bet.
All right. So, is there anything you want to say before we dive into the questions?
Oh, no, no. I'd just like to say, you know, thank you to all of your users for, you know, participating with the questions, and also, you know, leaving comments for my videos on YouTube. All of their comments and support is always welcome. It's great to see. I'm happy that I'm, you know, helping so many of you. And I hope to have some fun today as well.
All right. So let's get started. What do you think?
You bet. Yeah, sounds good.
Okay. Sonia asked, which of these options or which of these sentences is correct? Whose cat is this? Or whose is this cat?
Right. I have that, yeah, down my list here, yes, Sonia. I definitely the correct one. My radar is going toward whose cat is this? Whose is this cat? That sounds like a direct translation from Portuguese, don't you think? Like if you were to translate that, right? Like de quem, right?
Yeah, de quem é esse gato? You're right. Yeah. It sounds like a direct translation.
Right.
You know, the funny thing is, I don't remember ever seeing anywhere that the second sentence is wrong, but really, it doesn't sound that common, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like I have heard that a lot.
No, exactly. So I didn't look it up, but I mean, definitely the one that we would teach by the book would be the first one. Maybe the second one is used. Who knows? Maybe it's an influence on American English from Spanish. We don't know. But I mean, definitely to be on the safe side, I would say, you know, go for the first one.
Okay.
It's a good question. Very tricky.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Sonia must intriguing. Be an English teacher.
Yeah, maybe. For example, if we had only whose is it, then now it's a very common construction, right?
Yeah.
Whose is it?
Yeah, for sure. Whose is this? It could also be. But it would sound strange to say whose is this cat. It just doesn't even kind of flow or sound right to me. You know, whose cat is this? That sounds right for me.
Okay.
That's a tricky thing. That's like a word order thing. Like sometimes, I don't know if they ever studied the adjective order. There's something called opshikam. It's like opinion, shape, color. Like where you have to order the adjectives, mm-hmm. you know, before a noun. Mm-hmm. And that's also very flexible. You'll see people changing the order of that, changing the order of adverbs. You know,
Steve, that's totally true. Yeah.
Yeah. So exactly. I think sometimes you just have to say what sounds right. But coming from a grammatical point of view, whose cat is this? That's the right one. Yeah.
All right. Let's go to another question here let me find it. Question number two.
Okay.
Oh, okay. This is a good one. Marcelo José asks, I'd like to know more about the differences among verbs like to see, watch, and look.
Right.
This is a favorite. This is
yeah,
a favorite question.
Yeah. I remember teaching in a class when I was living in Brazil, and I remember that I actually taught this class of engineers on Friday, and then there was another teacher that taught them on another day of the week, and she had taught them by the book that it should be watch, and that
like
see
watch a movie.
Yeah, like watch a movie, and then see should be like a sensory verb, like something you do involuntarily all the time.
Yeah.
And then I went in and I said, well, actually, we can say see a movie too. And I remember this older student, he stood up.
What?
And he was first. He's like, oh, yeah. Come on. You know, like it's one or the other. And it really isn't, you know, like I was thinking about it, you know, when I was preparing for this, that there's a very famous song by John Lennon, A Day in the Life. And he says, I saw a film today. Oh, boy. I saw a film, to see a film. We use both. So I definitely, once again, by the book, watch would be the preferred one. But a lot of people say see as well. Is it grammatically correct? Well, not really. It's a sensory verb. But we do use it. We break the rule. Bad native speakers.
And I get lots of questions. Oh, come on. No, you know, I think it's great that this kind of issue or kind of topic is coming up. And by the way, we have another question involving the word topic and issue.
All right. But, good segue.
Yeah. No, yeah. Anyway, but just still on this one. It's a good thing that this kind of thing is coming up because I get lots of questions, you know, especially just in general, I get lots of questions. You know, I learned that the rule is this, and now you said something else, or I saw like on a movie.
Yeah.
People said something different. So which one is it? I mean, I was taught by the book that I should use, you know, this word, but I see that, you know, I'm confused. Which one is it? And I don't know. I think there are many aspects to this, and one of them is language evolves. I mean, I think it's true for all languages. And, you know, it happens in Portuguese, it happens in English, it happens everywhere.
Yeah.
And things that maybe were completely incorrect, like 20 years ago, nowadays people are saying those things, and it's not considered like this horrible mistake anymore.
No, not at all, not at all. And so I understand it from both points of view. For the English teachers who are trying to maintain, you know, some kind of rules, some kind of logic to teach the students, but it has changed. You know, kind of on the topic of, you know, like see, which is a sensory verb. There are other verbs of opinion and sensory verbs that should not grammatically be put into the ing form, but a lot of them are, like in American English. Like you're not supposed to say you come to Canada. Are you liking Canada? What? That's not grammatically correct. That sounds like Portuguese.
That's not what I was taught.
Right. So I totally agree with you. It's dynamic, isn't it? It's they're going to have to rewrite the Raymond Murphy or the Betty Azar grammar Bibles, you know?
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Okay. So to answer Marcelo, you can say both.
Yeah.
I saw a movie and I watched the movie.
For sure.
I don't know. Would you like to give other examples of like differences between or among see, watch, and look?
Well, I know that the big one is between see and watch. Look is definitely a sensory verb. So, I mean, you wouldn't use that in the same context of like, you wouldn't say I looked at a movie. So look is more like at that moment you're looking at something.
You're directing your eyes to something,
right? It's a one-time kind of thing at that moment. It's not a continuous, not that continuous, I guess. Then it turns into staring, doesn't it? We could go on for hours about that topic.
I know. All right, let's see another one. Osvaldo sent a question.
Uh-huh.
He included two sentences in English. One is, I have no cash. And the other one is, I don't have money. And then he asks, Is there any difference between the above? When do I use no, as in no cash, or don't? I don't have any money.
It's an excellent question, and I know why.
Is there any difference at all?
Yeah, sure. And I know why he's asking that, because basically no goes before a noun and not before a verb, right? So have is have is a verb. So you'd say, I do not have, right? Not have. What's have? Have is a verb. So we say not have. But no is coming before cash. Is cash a verb? No, it's a noun. It's a thing. So we use no. Yeah, so that's the difference, is that you use no before a noun in the negative and not before a verb.
Okay.
Another thing I wanted to suggest is to be careful of double negatives too. So it's very common for people to say, even in, you know, North America or the UK, in kind of like a street talk kind of way, to say, you know, I don't have no cash, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's a double negative.
Yeah, you hear that in movies a lot.
Right, yeah, yeah. There's the Rolling Stones song, I can't get no satisfaction, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. That's another thing to watch out for, are double negatives, not just, you know, once you know that you put no before a noun, be careful also that if you're using an affirmative sentence, which you have used in this case, you use no. But if it's a negative sentence, you have to use any. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. So let me add a little something to this question. What would you say, is there any difference at all between I don't have any cash and I have no cash?
No, it's the same. It's just two different ways of saying it.
Okay, this is going well. What do you think?
Oh, it's awesome. Poetry in motion.
You really are an artist.
Then I should get out my guitar and we should start.
So do you have your guitar fired up or geared up or whatever it is? Do you have your guitar ready to play for us?
No, actually, I'm just kidding.
Okay. So here's another, this is actually a couple of questions that were sent in by Wallace. Wallace Rodrigo sent two questions. First one is about pronunciation. And, you know, he's asking, how do you pronounce words with T and D? And let me exemplify. Words like letter, beetle, and data. And sometimes you hear those words as letter and beetle and data. And so what do you have to say about this? Is it a characteristic of American and Canadian English, or what is it? Is it local? Does it have to do with geography? Is it the same?
That's an awesome question. Yeah, this is a really good question. So Wallace, congratulations on your question. That's awesome. Yeah, definitely in American English, North American English, the T does become a D. You know, that's very, very common. And more and more in British English, I would say they're also adopting that. There is the belief that British only say better and butter, and that the mm-hmm. Americans say better and butter. That's starting to mix now with globalization. You know, like there's if you watch like British Idol or American Idol, like they all try to sound kind of this cool, informal American pronunciation. So, but I mean, by the book, once again, you would say better in American English, better in British English, letter in British English, letter in American English. What I liked about his question particularly was that he went a little further and he started to ask about whether Americans can get so relaxed in their speech that they even omit the D, which formerly was a T sound. And that's true. Mm-hmm. And so a good example, and I'm sure you know this too, Anna, is like internet, the T is dropped altogether and they say internet. Or, mm-hmm. or you know, like maybe instead of letter, they might say letter, letter, letter. Like the person thinks they're saying the D sound or something there, but they're really not. It's a very relaxed pronunciation. So that does happen, definitely, where the whole sound disappears. And there, but I think what I would like to say to that is that the British do it too. And if any of you are Lily Allen fans, she's a very popular British singer. She actually went to school, the same school as Prince Charles had gone to. So she came from a family that sent her to very, very good English schools in the UK. But regardless of that, she sings many times with a Cockney accent, and once again, she will omit the T sound or even the D sound. Say letter, letter. You know, she says, "I wrote you a letter." You know, so
Oh,
once,
is that the Cockney accent?
So once again, this idea that oh, British, the old British, they pronounce it with the T, and Americans with the D. I mean, both in informal English. Can omit the whole thing. So I think that's important to realize.
And Wallace has a second question, and his second question is about the word assunto in Portuguese. And he offers three different translations that assunto may have in
Oh, I
English.
like your English pronunciation. That's
Yeah,
good.
yeah,
I
uh-huh,
should say Rio de Janeiro. Yes.
yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna say all Portuguese words like that now. Obrigado, Steve.
Trabalho.
Poder falar agora.
Oh, exato. Porta.